on the voice of Fairfield and Westchester Counties, 1490 WGCH, Greenwich, WGCH.com, anywhere. I'm Tony Savino. Greenwich Planning and Zoning Commission met last night and joined on the line by Director of P&Z, Pat LaRoe. Good morning, Pat. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Tony. Thanks for having me.
All right, we were joking. It was a long meeting. You started in April. Did you go into May?
No, we cut it off before May.
All right.
By about 45 minutes, but oof. Yeah.
Ooh, that's almost 8 hours. Wow.
A lot of good discussion last night, so happens every once in a while, right?
All right, let's get right to it. Go right ahead.
Sure. So the agenda last night, we started off with two applications related to the same project, the municipal improvement and the final site plan, coastal site plan, I should say, for the pump station replacement at Coscob on Strickland Road. This was before the commission earlier in April. That was left open for the applicant to go and gain comments from the Architecture Review Committee. They did that, and everything, you know, there was clear direction from ARC, and the commission endorsed the plan, approved the MI, and approved the site plan for the replacement of the pump station. The next application was Nimbus Realty. Again, two applications, one a final subdivision and final site plan special permit for a 830G assisted development at Benedict Place and Benedict Court in the downtown area. This has been a discussion of redevelopment for a number of years. This is the latest iteration. They are looking to do a, I just want to get the numbers right because I keep forgetting where we're at here with it. It is a 120-unit development. 40% of the total unit, equal to 48 units, would be at below market rate for a 40-year term. The project has, it's going to be encumbering about 12 existing parcels in the downtown, sort of across the street from 100 West Putnam, if you're familiar, and south of Lewis Street. The commission has seen this before. They've been working with the technical requirements, sewer, drainage, traffic. Applicant made a huge steps in addressing those issues. Sewer seemed to be satisfactory at this point in time with the design and any repair needed for the sewer system. They addressed all the engineering qualifications. Some of the outstanding issues, there is some requests from the commission, even though it is a government-assisted set-aside development, to maybe tweak some of the architecture a little bit, if possible. They thought there was some greater detail that could be put in to make the building seem a little less massive, but again, it does fit into the sort of the downtown area as a attractive redevelopment, in their opinion. The other thing was that it's short parking, as we would sort of analyze it for it as of right development, by a few spaces. I'm going to say between 3 and 6, and the commission was wondering if there's any way to sort of shoehorn or maybe add some surface parking in the development to offset that, because there is a concern as downtown living is very attractive and people do walk and, you know, all that. People tend to, especially downsizing families or individuals, tend to bring their car into the downtown and park it. And so if there's if this becomes a de facto parking garage for the residents, is there an opportunity for people to park and get around and not go out and onto the streets? The last nit-nat was talking to parking services. There is a driveway that's being proposed, or a driveway loop in front of the building on Benedict, and we're losing some metered spaces there. The conversation hasn't gotten to a point where the parking services can say, yes, we're okay with the realignment of our parking spaces or not. So left that open. Will be likely heard on the 14th, but the commission offered to have a special meeting if there is significant movement between now and the next 2 weeks. So, again, left open, not decided, but we'll be back shortly. Then we have Central Middle School. This is the first time the commission has seen the final site plan. The commission did see last year, end of last year, a municipal improvement and preliminary site plan application. This is a lot of hard work from the building committee and to address, again, technical and all the wants and wishes of the neighborhood, all the committees involved, and the Planning and Zoning Commission. So we did a whole walkthrough of the building, what has changed, what has not changed, what the scope is. Similar to last time we talked about it, it circled around traffic, trees, and some of the aesthetic of the building, if the building is being designed in a way that is the best long-term investment for the town. We had a lot of positive comments from the public. Almost everybody was very much in favor of moving forward with the building, understanding the technical things that the commission were asking about, saying, please, we'd like this design. We've worked hard on it. We'd like to see this move forward expeditiously. So the commission, there are some this and that. Like I said, we need to talk with DPW about possible traffic improvements or things that the building committee could do in the immediate term to help with controlling speeding around the school and the traffic flow. The design of the new school, to be honest, it does a lot of that, but there's still obviously a lot of concern and experience for people about speeding, particularly on Orchard, which is a windy street north of Indian Rock, and again, where people have experienced a lot of problems in that area. So little to-do list. We're going to meet with a lot of departments about coming up with some solutions to help with CMS's building committee, and they should be back probably in 3 or 4 weeks, but, getting closer. Next we had, did I just skip over six here? Number six was the J House in Riverside. They're looking to expand their outdoor dining and build a new terrace off the rear of the facility. This has been before the commission before. Left open last time for concerns about fire safety and the fire department having access to the building, because this is going to be a sort of a cantilever over the rear driveway around the back of the building, if you've ever been to the J House. That's been addressed. The applicant has sort of curb the size of the structure that they're putting up there so that the fire truck can get through and there's good fire access, as obviously is important. Everything else seemed to be addressed. The commission understands how the indoor-outdoor seating is going to be moved, seats from the inside removed when the outside's in use, and that whole logistics plan, that whole shift that happens seasonally, has been worked out to the commission's satisfaction. They did close the application, but given the late hour some of the material related to the fire department was received early in the afternoon, albeit 8 hours ago, but still while they were at the meeting, they decided to close, and then they will vote on it at the next meeting. So progress, but no decision. Next, we had Newfield Properties. This is 2527 Oak Ridge, another affordable housing development, again, assisted. This is 31 units, 22 of them being below market, 7 units being offered out of the total. The commission has had a lot of discussion about this because of the mix of units. This is where all of the opportunity or affordable units are single bedroom. So 7 out of the 8 single bedrooms are affordable, and then the rest of the balance is 2 bedroom, and none of those are being offered at affordable. We have experience, talking to the housing trust and running our own affordable housing units in town, that multi-bedroom 2-3s are highly, highly coveted. We were hoping that the applicant would be able to find it in the financing or design of the building to put one or more of those two-bedroom units into the affordable category. The applicant just could not express a number of reasons why they could not do that for the marketability of the project. They also were given sort of a strict offer from the Affordable Housing Trust that no increase in height was going to be welcome in lieu of, in exchange for a larger diversity of units or possibly a loss of units because as you add two bedrooms into the mix, it may require some of the single bedrooms, and so you, instead of having seven, you have six, et cetera. I think the commission understood the logistics of it. The applicant was very forthright in what they see as the case law regarding affordable housing and the comparability of units. The commission, again, we're sort of out in the front of the tip of the spear with these, with the affordable housing trust and the way that we're financing and encouraging affordable housing in town. And so there's not a lot of case law. So we're in, into the sort of the great blue wonder, but the commission, I think, understands that and it was ready to close the item, and they're going to vote on that at next meeting. So stay tuned. Next is St. Catherine's of Siena. That is a rezoning application on Riverside. The properties where the festival usually is in the summer is zoned as residential. They were looking to change the properties along that road to be in the business zone, the LB in particular. The commission had last time had mentioned, the LB zone is really, to put it here would make it sort of an island, which is not really a good strategy for zoning. You'd like to have interconnected areas of similar zoning criteria. The applicant expressed that this was necessary to allow for not-for-profit use on the first floor. Even though LBR is next door in another commercial zone, the first floor is limited to more retail functions. So it doesn't satisfy the goals of the church, which would be to use some of those properties over there as office space for their ministries. And as they've acquired St. Agnes, there's a lot of administrative space that needs to be added to the property. And as St. Agnes is obviously being purchased by Country Day, ultimately, the commission decided that LB was not the zone change here. It would have been an anomaly, a spot zone, as we refer to it in planning, and would be more out of character with the surrounding neighborhood, residential and LBR, than having another zone applied there. So they denied the application not because of anything related to what the, it's not a prejudicial statement against St. Catherine. It's just that the zoning schema didn't seem to work best with the LB. So I don't think the applicant has too much of an issue. They would have to maybe propose a change to the uses in the zone or come back as a special permit, but that project is no longer and denied last night. Then we had a change in plans for Field Point Road, 32 Field Point Road. This has been before the commission before. Originally, they were asking to do a historic overlay, preserving the fronting house and affording the applicant a greater bonus in floor area to, in this case, build some residential units behind it. It's kind of a large lot in the downtown, about a half acre. Magnificent house in front, not going anywhere. The commission expressed some concerns last time with the prior iteration that the HO may be not being misused, but there was reservation about it meeting the regulation and the goals of the POCD. The applicant in response said, we won't do the HO, but we would still like to proceed with having units. So we have another regulation in the business zone called 6110, which is the moderate income. It's the local affordable zoning regulation, and they came back with a six-unit proposal on the in the back there. Four units. I apologize, not six. So one of those units would be below market, and the building actually gets a little bit smaller as a result because the bonus in for moderate income is not as great as historical overlay, but still satisfies, meets the applicant's needs, they think. This is the first time the commission saw it, so that there was direction about where it was going, the look of the building, the siting of the property. The applicant is going to take that under advisement and come back at a later date, probably end of May. Then we had a postponement, number 11, for 68 Deerfield, and we had a discussion item at 31. St. Rock's, and at 31 St. Rock, it is the former Minute Maid Press building. It is a business in a residential zone, so it is a legally non-conforming use. So any changes, abuse out of the existing ones approved would have to go to the commission as a special permit. Special permits require a pre-application prior to filing. This is that pre-app. The first floor would like to be used as a small boutique hair salon, about 2 to 3 chairs, one operator inside. So the commission is obviously concerned, as anyone's been on St. Rock's during dismissal or drop-off for Ham Ave, that, you know, anything that goes on in this building needs to have adequate parking on site, because getting on and off from the street is somewhat difficult, especially during the school hours. So I'm going to take a breath and say that was the end of our meeting.
Okay. And next meeting, Pat, look ahead to that.
Yeah. So next meeting. So the items that were closed and not decided, that'd be the J House and Newfield at 2527, those will be on probably first as a decision only, so no comment, but a vote and tally from the commission. We will also have Julian Curtis. Their front entry improvement plan proposal will be in front of us. We will also be talking about 17 Hemlock again and 103 Mason, which is another multifamily development, not 830G, but as of right, on 103 Mason Street.
All right, Pat, keeping you busy. Wow. All right.
Yeah, no, we're, we got stuff going on, that's for sure.
I guess so. All right, Pat, appreciate all your time this morning, and get some rest.
We'll Thank you, Tony. Time. Have a good day.
You too. That is Director of Planning and Zoning, Pat LaRoe, with a...